KPCW News Time now, 8:19. Good morning. Well, the Park City School District students are back in class. The Board of Education last night approving another $5-plus million tax increase. In the studio with an update, I have School District Business Administrator Todd Halber, along with School Board President Andrew Kaplan. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we'll start with you, Todd. This is the third year of the three-year teacher contract. The tax increase has been anticipated. It's no surprise to generate the revenue to cover the salary increases that were given back in 2017. The tax rates that were adopted unanimously by the board amount to about a $5.2 million tax increase. So what are people going to see on their tax bills? I know with assessed valuation figures going up, that meant that the tax rate was decreased. So less of an impact?
So less of an impact than we had anticipated back in May. And this was a great opportunity for not only teacher contracts, but also for our classified or our educational support professionals and our administrators. We had that three-year contract for all those employee groups, and so we were able to put all that together in that $5.2 million. And so when we crunched the numbers and the assessed valuations came in, we were able to have a tax impact that was about $3 on every $100,000 of appraised value. We were anticipating something at the $7 range, but it came down to $3. So a small increase due to the actions of the board last night. Now that's different than the certified rate setting process. So that's a bigger process managed through the tax commission. So some people may actually see increases different than the $3 per $100,000 due to appraised values of their homes.
Right, and that happens, I mean, in areas about every 5 years.
Correct, so. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it rotates through the county assessor manages that process.
Yeah, so what, again, that takes care of the salary increases
for the third year. Yep.
Now we're, Andrew, in a negotiating year this year, or this school
exactly.
year.
Exactly, so we're going to start that process. Julie Hooker, who's one of the co-presidents of the PCEA, was in our meeting yesterday, and we're going to get that process started probably next week because we want to, we have a shared interest with all of our employees, to attract and retain the best possible employees for our district to teach our students and support our students, and we want to get that done as quickly as possible.
And we saw some hefty increases. I mean, again, raising beginning teacher salaries above $50,000. Mm-hmm. So now that we've kind of hit that plateau, should we expect to see similar tax increases every year to account for increases?
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say is that I think, Todd's done a great job in terms of being fiscally responsible and managing the budget. And, when we have increases to pay for these that are as low as, $30 per $1 million of house value, I think we can say it's a success to be able to continue to pay our teachers at the highest level that we can, our support professionals at the highest level we can, will we increase salaries again? I think that's probably likely. Will that result in increased taxes? Sure. But we have to look at everything. We're going to have some big capital needs coming up. We're entering the last 6 months of our master planning process, and we hope that by the end of this calendar year, we should have some really good direction in terms of what our facilities are going to look like and what our educational experience is going to look like for the next 10 years. And that's going to result in a tax increase as well. And so, I would say to people listening, pay attention to what we're working on, what we're looking at, be involved in the planning discussions for what's coming in terms of master planning. And we hope that, the community, everyone in the community who cares to have their voice heard is heard. And we're going to work to make the buildings and our staff reflective of the community's interest, which is to make this continuing to be the best district in the state and one of the best districts in the country.
Yeah, I want to get back to master planning, though. But in terms of how we are now, I mean, do we have all of the teacher positions filled for the school year?
For the most part, we're covered in the staffing. We'll be going through our student count. So today and then 10 days from today, we'll do a final check-in, see how many students have actually enrolled in the schools and see what the class size ratios are and see if there's any final determinations on staffing. But right now, we're where we need to be.
Okay. And you haven't seen any kind of big bubbles come up in a particular class or grade or anything like that?
So at this point, it's kind of very fluctuating. People are coming back from their summer vacations, getting ready for school, and people are moving into the area still. So it's kind of fluctuating. We'll have it pinned down
after here. Labor Day.
Yeah.
And then the final count comes October 1.
Correct.
Right. And that's what the
state... That's official funding count is on October 1.
Okay. In terms of master planning, Andrew, the school board made a presentation to the Park City Council last week. What are the next steps here?
Yeah, so the next steps are we're going to host a couple town halls and information sessions this fall, and we'll be out with dates to you on that. We're just getting everything together and finalized. And we're going to continue to work with some of our consultants to, determine what our final options are. I mean, I think the big there's kind of three big decisions that we have to make. One is around preschool and whether or not we continue to pursue universal pre-K for our community, which is shown to be the single biggest differentiator for academic success in terms of early childhood education. So that's a big one, and so far the community has been very supportive of that idea and that concept. The second one is what happens with the high school. We know that the ninth grade is going into the high school based on the work that we've done so far. So the question is okay, what does the high school look like? Does it have a traditional ninth grade? Do we add a traditional wing and it looks exactly like it's been? Or do we explore potentially having a more PC CAPS-like school, so a tech-focused, project-based learning type of school, which we know there's demand for in our community because of, the South Summit Academy. Do we do that as a 9 through 12 building, or is that a 6 through 12 building, and where is that located? The thought right now is that that's located somewhere, if we did that on the Kearns campus. And so there's a lot of, there's some big decisions. And then obviously in the middle years, that's the third question, and what's likely to happen with the ninth grade going in is that the eighth grade would go to Ecker, and we would have to do an addition on that building. And so those are kind of the three big rocks to push. And, we're going to continue to look to the community for guidance and feedback on those three projects. And we hope to have at least plans finalized, by the end of this year so that we can move forward. And then it's a question of funding and how we're going to do that and on what timeline. Is it going to be something that we're going to look to a bond election in the fall? Is it something that we're going to look to, phase it over a number of different years? And again, that's something that we're going to work on over the next few months.
Okay. So when do you anticipate having that kind of decision made? You said the next
six months? Yeah, we hope to have most of it done before Christmas break. I think I'd say the next 6 months because it may run a little over. We want to take our time. We don't want to rush anything. And it really is going to also depend on how much consensus we can get from the community. So, we don't want to rush it. This is a big decision. It's going to impact education in our community for the next 10 to 20 years. We've been taking our time and, we want to continue to be, very careful and deliberate in the conversation and decision making.
Yeah. Todd, I mean, just hearing at least adding on to the high school and having to perhaps add on to Ecker. I mean, is there money in the budget for that, in the capital budget at this point, or that would require some bonding?
So there will be some additional financing needed, whether that's bonding, whether that's a tax conversation or other financing means, that will all be part of a financial strategy that supports the master plan once we get to that point. But we do have reserve, so we'll be able to get into those projects without having to raise all of it through some other means.
Yeah. And in terms of growth, because we've talked about this before, we've seen like less than 1% each year for the last couple of years. I mean, what are you anticipating for this school year?
So we're still looking at relatively flat growth for this year. Within the system, however, there's been 1% growth taking place. There have just been other education opportunities that people are participating in. And so we're watching some of the growth actually go to other education options here in the area. So the underlying growth is still happening. Whether they're coming into the school district is what we're trying to guess at right now.
Yeah. You did hear from Julie Hooker as co-president of the PCEA, and she said that she has received input from teachers with concerns about class size on that first day. Did you just, tell her to be patient and we'll see how things kind of fall out here?
Yeah, it'll take us this first 2 weeks of school for all of that to shake out, and we'll reassess class sizes, section choices, and arrangements in the high school and also in the other schools as well. So we do a hard look to make sure that we're balanced.
And certainly the the hope is that we keep it at 23-1, especially in the lower grades. In the high school, is having 30 kids in a class okay? I mean, I know that makes it harder, especially for an English teacher.
That's a big discussion, and I think we've seen it come up in a bunch of different schools and grade levels this fall with registration. And I think the board is going to look at that, take a hard look at that this fall from a policy perspective in terms of what class ranges we want to have at various levels. So you mentioned 23-1, that's for our youngest kids, and then it kind of steadily creeps higher. I think we want to, you know, work with the Teachers Association as well as, you know, our administration and really do some work on what is the best number. I think there's a lot of evidence that the smaller class sizes you can have, the better it is for the educational experience. And then obviously as a board, we have to balance that with fiscal responsibility. So I think that's a conversation that's going to continue into the fall. And I think we all have an interest in making sure that, you know, the experience is as good as possible for our students. So, you know, we'll definitely be tackling that from a policy perspective.
Okay. You also heard from your transportation director, Richard Eddington. He was saying, surprisingly, the Jeremy construction was less impactful than what we see happening on 248. But what's the prognosis on both of those?
So the 248 project is probably about 5 weeks behind schedule. So UDOT has redirected some of our traffic through that corridor, so we have alternate bus route patterns and access into the high school. So the left turn, if you're heading east on 248 and wanting to turn left into the school, UDOT said we can't do that anymore because it's backing up the traffic, so we've had to reroute patterns. So hopefully they get back on track in those 5 weeks. It's not what we had anticipated. We had hoped otherwise. But that's where we are. And for the most part, people are cooperating and we're having good efforts and students are getting to school. It's impacting bus routes a little bit in time. So they were a little late on our first day of school. That impacted Ecker at the end because they're the last tier of transportation. But hopefully as we all get used to the new pattern, we'll be good.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the tunnel at Ecker Hill still not open?
Yeah, so the final there's a security system that we wanted to have installed in that tunnel, and that's not fully operational yet. And so we don't want to open up the tunnel until we know the kids will be safe going through the tunnels.
But that was like last summer, no? All that work was done?
Yeah, there was a little bit of delay, but it's just the getting the conduits in, getting the wiring done for all the security cameras.
Okay. And then you also heard from your Chief Operations Officer Mike Tanner with an update on security projects that have been completed over the summer. So I know this is something we've been working on for a couple of years. Are we finished with all of those now?
I don't know that we're absolutely finished, but the vestibules at the elementary schools and over at Ecker are operational now. The visitor management system is in place and operational. So we're putting those final touches in place. Then the safety committee will be organized around looking at the high school and trying to determine what the right approach is for the high school. It has so many access points, so many events that take place that are non-school related, but the school facility is used by the community. So what's the right mix and match for the security at that facility?
Okay, finally wanted to ask about the school calendar that was approved for next year. We're going to go with 2 weeks at Christmas, a week over Presidents, and the first week of April, I believe. Something that appears different is that we've got graduation happening on a Thursday.
Yeah, so it's happening on the last day of school, which is change back to the way it was. We got away from that for a few years, and that created some obvious issues at the high school with graduation happening before the last day, and then you have seniors who are done with school, and that's very disruptive to the rest of the school. So this year we'll be ending on graduation day.
All right. And then the Park City Education Association had asked the board to have calendars approved several years out. Mm-hmm. Is that the plan?
Yep, that's the plan. So we'll start looking at the 21-22 calendar.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you guys wanted to mention?
No, I think we have a couple new administrators this year. You know, the superintendent and the business administrator have been working hard to build out their admin team. And so I'd like to welcome Michael Tanner, who you mentioned, who is our new chief operations officer. We have Dr. Amy Hunt, who's the new chief academics officer, and Mark Weisenberg, who's the new director for human capital and culture here at the district. In addition, we have a new CTE director, Lindsay Huntsman, who was already with the district. Martin Briggs is our first full-time dual language immersion and English language learner coordinator. We'd like to welcome the new principals this year. So Caleb Fine has moved from the high school over to Treasure. Amy Jenkins is the new principal at Ecker, and Darren Hawk is the new principal at Parley's Park. And then finally, we have Patricia Aspiazu, who's our first full-time district office translator. So a lot of new faces, some of the same faces in different seats, and we'd like to welcome all of them back and wish them good luck this year.
Okay. And in terms of doing that, you were able to do that without any budget increases, huh?
Correct. Yeah. So it was reorganization, and we have an awesome superintendent coming in, just looking at things fresh, and her talents and abilities to bring the school together in this new format is awesome.
Great. All right, Todd, Andrew, thanks
Thank
for
you,
coming
Leslie.
This morning. The Summit County and Park City Arts Council and Basin Recreation offering a Arts on the Trails, artful experiences with the beauty of our natural surroundings. This is happening between 3 and 6 o'clock this Saturday. In the studio to tell us more about that is the executive director, or the managing,
Technically managing director
of the Summit County Park City Arts Council, Jocelyn Scudder. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell us how this works.
Yes, so Art on the Trails is a fairly new program that the Park City Summit County Arts Council has programmed. And for those of you listening who aren't familiar with us, we are the arts umbrella nonprofit here in Park City, and our mission is to promote, support, and strengthen arts and culture countywide. And so we do that through marketing, we do that through advocacy, but I think the most front-facing thing that we do is we do it through our programming. And each one of our programs really strives to support a specific subsector within the creative sector. And so some of our programs support visual artists, and actually Art on the Trails is meant to support our performing artists. And so we have programmed pop-up creative performances on the trail that include hip-hop, ballet, spoken word poetry, jazz, bluegrass, and Spanish guitar. And really, we're looking to kind of strike some awe in some people. You know, when I think about why we all live here, also moved here, it's because of our beautiful surroundings, mainly. Maybe you moved here for a job, but I think the real perk is we live in an incredible place. We have an incredible trail system. And so when I think about our community, many of us enjoy the outdoors, but also enjoy all of the arts and culture amenities that are here in Park City and Summit County, for that matter. And so we were really privileged to partner with Basin Recreation, who they manage the McLeod Creek Trail, where this is going to take place. And everything starts at Copper Moose Farm Stand, and they are also our host sponsor. And so we are going to have a bluegrass band there, a little lounge, some information, and that's where all trail tours check in. So we do recommend that people sign up in advance and go to pcscarts.org to sign up for a trail tour. We'll have trails leaving from Copper Moose Farm every 20 minutes. This is free and open to the public. It's kid-friendly, dog-friendly if your dogs are good. We want people to come out and really have a unique experience on the trail and maybe see some performing art that they haven't ever seen before, especially in one place.
Yeah, it sounds fabulous. People should park, what, there at Willow Creek then? Is that the idea, and walk across?
Exactly. So we're recommending, and again, with Basin Rec, they've allowed us to have everybody park at Willow Creek Park, which is right across the street. This is also going to be an ADA easy trail. Those of you who are familiar with it, it's beautiful, it's shady, there's water. But we wanted this to be accessible for anyone, any ability level, and it's going to be a very leisurely walk. So if you hear, you know, art in the trails and hiking, don't be intimidated. It's very, very easy and fun. We'll have water, and Pro Bar actually came in and gave us some snacks. So if you're feeling faint, we'll have some food for you. And then we also wanted to just do a quick shout out to NordicTrack and iFit and RMC, who came in as sponsors for this. But really, we wanted to provide accessible performances and quality performances for our community to enjoy and to get out there on the trail and kind of experience the trail like they never had before.
Yeah, so is it an out and back? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it is out and back. I think ideally we would love a loop, but this trail was so perfect, and Basin Rec has been an incredible partner in this. And so what the good thing about the out and back is that if people choose to, they can extend their walk, and all performers are actually meant to do unique performances each time. So when you walk back, you may see the same performer, but it may be a different song or dance or repertoire. So they're going to be fabulous. We have the Park City High School Jazz Ensemble. We have Ballet West Academy coming out, the youth group that they've been practicing all summer on this routine. It's their advanced dancers. We have Brandon Leek, who's a spoken word poet, and we have Basin and Grange. There are bluegrass, and Antonio, Garcia, and he is a Spanish and flamenco guitarist.
Wow, it sounds great. Again, people should plan about a mile and a half if they were to go all the way out and come all the way back, and about an hour and a half in time.
Exactly, because you're going to be stopping at each station, at each performer, for about 10 minutes. So again, it's leisurely. You'll be strolling. Bring your friends. And then we'll have a little party at Copper Moose after. So okay. We hope you join us. And again, it's actually filling up very quick. I think we only have 40 spots left out of 175, which is fabulous. It shows us that our community is hungry for this type of event, which we're thrilled about. So if you go to pcscarts.org, you can sign up for a trail tour on Saturday, and this is between 3 and 6 p.m.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
That's everything. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Jocelyn. Jocelyn Scudder, the Managing Director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.